Convergence on Bethlehem, a nativity play in 21 scenes and poems by Clive Sansom. With Nigel Stock as the angel Kephos, Geoffrey Beavers as the angel Astroleth, Rosalind Shanks as Mary, Harold Innocent as Herod, and Saeed Jaffrey as Melchior.
Kephos! Brother Kephos! I am lost.
No longer, brother. This is star 420 of the Milky Way. Cool, slowly fading. White.
No, mentally lost.
Oh.
Are we really angels, or are we figments of man's imagination?
A good question. Both. And neither.
Thank you, brother. You're most helpful.
No, I mean it. We have the power of assuming any shape at any moment. This is the shape to which man has become accustomed. Whenever he thinks angel, he thinks us. The fact that he now questions that image is no reason for doubting our existence. Don't you feel that you exist?
Oh, yes. Yes, decidedly.
Well, then, be thankful. Never allow man's science to disturb you. That is most important. You see, the fellow is cock-a-hoop just now. He has invented the radio telescope. You'd think he had created the universe, not merely discovered it. Very soon, I suppose, we must change disguise for him or remain invisible. He'll recognize us then only as insights, thought impulses, extrasensory perceptions. It doesn't matter, brother. We shall still be here, and still God's messengers. So long as the message is delivered, spoken or unspoken, formulated or unformulated, we have performed our duties. Satisfied?
Yes, Brother Kephos. Thank you.
Not at all. You will learn. Now for today's assignment. We're to review events first acted out 2,000 years ago in man's star reckoning.
Well, how is that possible?
You are indeed a novice. Listen. In the eternal world that surrounds and interpenetrates the world of matter, nothing dies because time does not exist. But the past exists there in a continual present. A continual consciousness. Nothing is lost in the divine memory. Nothing is beyond recall. We are free to move in time as we move in space, belonging to neither. For us, the consequence of thought is instantaneous, swifter than light. Simply to image, simply to visualize, to conceive in mind the Palestine of 20 centuries ago is to rebuild and re-inhabit it. How is your Aramaic?
Adequate.
Then let us go. We are not alone on this mission. Others beside ourselves converge on Bethlehem. Their journeys are beginning.
Kephos! Wait! I'm lost again.
Indeed? Now, at what mental destination have you not arrived? Yes, talk. We have ample timelessness.
It is time that worries me.
Yes.
Well, is it merely the mindless turning of a wheel? Do men and women ceaselessly repeat their actions? Is time a roundabout with the same horses endlessly revolving?
No, brother. God is no fairground operator. What we shall witness now are time recordings. Events that happened once on Earth and once only.
I see. Then why the performance? Is it simply a puppet show for us, the audience, helping us to pass eternity?
No, by no means. All things exist eternally in the eternal now. Are independent of ourselves who merely tap them. And though we are observers privileged to watch, we are not indifferent spectators. We are each involved. Listen. This replay of the past can never change the past. But we, its watchers, can be changed. And through us, the present and the future. Are you with me?
Yes, Brother Kephos. I think I am.
Come, then. Center your thought on Earth, that small, dull planet behind this barrier of stars. See, down there, in the sun's dominion, will to be there. Imagine we are there. Now think to the far side turned from the sun, the winter solstice hovering on the brink of change. We pass through Earth's atmosphere, cold, wind and cloud. There now. Observe, Brother Astroleth, the world as it seems to man.
Beautiful. I had no idea it was so beautiful. Even the sunlight here is different. Look how it lies across the hills, touches those trees and valleys. If I were man, it would take my breath away.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Much time was spent on it, much love and craftsmanship. It is a special star, a favored star, one of the few with life upon it.
Does man deserve such beauty?
No. Who could deserve it, short of God himself?
Well, then why? What's the purpose of it all?
The final answer rests in the divine imagination. This is one of the great power's endless experiments. He has lavished on it a multitude of invention. One form of life is not enough for him. No, nor a thousand forms. Bird and animal, insect and reptile, each evolving through innumerable species, each representing a fragment of the ultimate, the total plan.
And is God satisfied?
No. No, he is not satisfied. So you understand?
I understand nothing. Sometimes, in the midst of my bewilderment, I sense God's mood. I register some emotion that emanates from him. Is man the cause?
Yes. Man. The most favored creature on this most favored planet. God has indulged him, given him affection and forgiveness, infinite patience. He has even shared his spirit with him, allowing him to serve in the universal act of creation.
Well, was that wise?
Brother Astroleth. One does not question the wisdom of God. Were he to justify his methods, he might say, always in the conduct of such experiments there must be room for error.
Oh, is man an error?
Man, an error. Shall we say, a dubious experiment? Results so far have not confirmed the theory.
Theory? And what is the theory?
That a creature able, like God, to create in his imagination might become collaborator, regent of one part of this tremendous whole. But instead of creating, man has destroyed, warring not only with nature and his environment, but with himself, his own race, his own posterity.
Well, then why does God endure it? Why not end the experiment and start again?
Because he still has faith. Remember, one who rules eternity has time for patience. Come with me. Only a little further. Think more closely. Time band 492-96. Latitude 3-5. Longitude 3-2. Altitude 2,000 feet. Evening. The hill country of Judea. The road from Nazareth.
A man, a woman, and a donkey.
The beginning of a new phase of this experiment. Watch. Another element has been added. A new formula, a new catalysis. Tonight we see the result. A child shall be born who is both son of man and son of God. Offspring of humanity, sharing its happiness and grief, and yet charged with divinity. The echo of the word. The prototype of man made perfect.
Where is this child?
Below us, on the road. Between those rocks, the woman on the donkey. Listen.
Since the tall angel came, speaking his holy theme, I have moved like a sleepwalker, like a girl in a dream. Why? Why was I chosen of all women to bring a mortal matrix for God, the mold of a king? Oh, I am not worthy, Lord, to have been so blessed. This dwelling house is too humble for such a guest. 9 months he has lodged here, lying under my heart, feeding upon my body. Now we must part. Perhaps for a dozen years he will stay, he will still be near, but not as I know him, not as I hold him here. Teach me, Lord, to be wise, to love, yet leave him free. He belongs, O God of Israel, to you, not me.
A great risk, a great liability. Responsibility enough at the best of times, caring for a pregnant woman. But conceive of my anxiety. Not any wife and her child, but this child. Responsible to God for the Messiah, for the Christ, the promised King. Nor have I shared the burden with friend or rabbi. They would have laughed at me, accused me of blasphemy. I've borne the knowledge alone, like a guilty secret growing within me, screaming for utterance. I long for the time of its delivery. O Lord our God, King of the universe, preserve us all till the end of this journey. And beyond, Lord. And beyond.
I would like to speak to him. Tell him the whole story.
No, Brother Astroleth. Men must journey through time and with time. Except for moments of intuition, there are no shortcuts. Besides, if he knew the future, would he be comforted? The child on the cross, deserted? The child in the tomb? And could he, at this stage, imagine further and see beyond the tomb? No. Let him plod as the donkey plods, step by step. One road ahead is enough for man. His landscape would overwhelm him. Come.
Where now?
Northward. A palace in Jerusalem.
Sir, there are three from Sippar in Babylon, priest astrologers of the Persian and Chaldean cults of Mithra and Zoroaster. They have the bearing and the retinue of kings.
Receive them.
Herod, King of Judea,
greetings.
First, young and beardless is Caspar, or Calligath of Tarsus, student of law and prophecy, the divination of dreams. Next, Balthazar, or Magalath of Ethiopia, wise in the mathematics of the stars. And lastly, I, Melchior, or Thareth, Lord of Arabia, whose qualification is the whiteness of his hair.
My lords, you are three times welcome to what is owed the honor of this visit. Please be seated.
Lord Herod, we are familiar with the movement of the stars in heaven, circuiting and returning, punctual to the minute. They travel always with unswerving constancy, masterly repetition. But rarely, unpredictably, a new phenomenon is patterned on the sky. Not comet or falling stardust, but the conjunction of two planets prefiguring an event of cosmic magnitude. The beginnings of such an omen we saw from the Tower of Sipar 6 months ago in the first light of morning. The conjunction of Saturn and Jupiter, ascending in the constellation of Pisces and destined to form at their point of concentration a pentagram, the King Star.
Indeed. What does it portend?
First, my lord, the passing of the gods, the old gods. Jupiter, the royal star, and Saturn, the protector of Israel, will meet to displace them.
Meaning? Yes?
The birth of a new age. Personified in a male child, the conjunction of earth and heaven, the Godhead manifest, the King of Kings.
What?
No worldly king, a lord of divinity, of infinite wisdom.
Oh, I see, I see. Let me consult the priests of the Temple of Solomon. Boethus, High Priest of Israel, what do you say?
My lord, the prophet Isaiah foretold such a king. A rod shall come from the tree of Jesse, King David's father.
I know.
A branch shall grow from his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him.
Yes, what else?
Enoch, too, speaks of the coming of the Son of Man, the Messiah, the Anointed One in all his glory.
I know, but when? When? Is there a sign?
Not to our knowledge.
Ah.
Unless, of course, these prophets of wisdom have received some revelation denied to us.
That is possible. Why are you certain that this king is due and in the west?
Sir, we set three courses by the star. Their lines have intersected. The birthplace must be here.
Here? Jerusalem?
Or near it?
Priest Boethus, we must lend our distinguished guests every assistance. Supposing their learned calculations are correct, which noble city would be blessed? What prophecy?
Sire, Bethlehem.
That paltry town. It stands off the Hebron Road, not 6 miles distant. Well, why?
It is written in the book of Micah, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small in the land of Judah, out of you shall he come to lead my people, Israel. But that is in the future. The time foreseen by Daniel is still to come. There is no evidence whatever to...
Enough! Thank you. Thank you, High Priest. We need not detain you further.
My lord.
Nor the court. A private audience for these eastern princes. And now, my lords, what you have told me concerning this king, this future ruler, interests me greatly. If in Bethlehem you find the child, return to our court and give me details so that I too may go and worship him.
We will, King Herod. Now by your leave, we will withdraw.
King Herod.
Farewell, my lord.
Farewell. We should be there by midnight.
Yes, be there in time. Carnos, give attendance. Go in peace, my lords. And remember...
Let us warn them.
Not yet. Leave them their innocence a while. They have lived so long among the clean stars, they have forgotten the earth below and those who crawl upon it.
And this is typical of earth?
Typical, but more intense. This narrow strip, banked between sea and desert, holds man in concentrate. Jew warring with Gentile, Greek merchants, Roman soldiers, rich and poor. And even among the Jews themselves, hatred, division. Their religion torn between Sadducee and Pharisee. Judeans contemptuous of Galileans, and final indignity. Their Romanized puppet king, an Arab half-breed.
Cephas, I do not understand. Surely for the child, a better home than this. A place where there is peace and unity. The perfect setting for the perfect man.
If the conditions for experiment appear too favorable, the world will suspect results. To be convincing, perfect man must be immersed in the crucible of imperfection, yet keep his formula unaltered. Now, do you see?
Not clearly. My only understanding seems a reflection of your own.
Poor Brother Moon. You will find your own light. No, I'm wrong. All light springs from the Godhead. We are reflectors merely. Let us find the source of light.
The man, the woman, and the donkey.
Yes. They have reached their destination.
The gate of Bethlehem, the end of our long journey. Above, the clustered houses rise from bare rock in sloping terraces. Their walls, flat and white, are holding the last of the winter sun. This was my home, Mary. Nothing has changed. As a boy, I climbed this road, played in these stony fields, and in rain time hid in their limestone caves. That was my house there, with the white cloud above it. Nothing has changed, Mary, except those men and women who lived here once. They've all gone. All gone, leaving this shell behind. These walls and roofs and clouds to tease my memory. But that is past. Today the future is beginning. Another boy will find his birth in Bethlehem. Your child and God's. My foster child. Time built this town for him. Come, Mary. The Khan is yonder.
Nazareth? That's a trudge. 70 miles to register and claim your property so that Quirinius can tax you better.
Oh, yes, that's the reason. No fat emperor sprawling in Rome and pecking peacock bones cares about us and family possessions unless they tell him 10% for you. But best not to see that. Five of his lot's inside now, looking imperial and taking our best beds.
Sizer?
Yes, sir! Of course, 2 minutes, coming, sir! That's young Caesar now. Not only them, though. There's buyers of corn, sellers of cloth and cheeses, and all their servants, too. It's not surprising this caravansary's full. I suppose you'll be of David's line. Oh, no? I'm sorry. They're all Ben Davids here, except the merchants. That's why the wineskin's bursting. But listen, we have an empty cave along that path. It's warm and dry. The only guest in there is my old ox from the vineyard. So, why not let your donkey keep him company and take the other half yourselves? It's clean enough. There's plenty of straw and shelter from the wind. It's far sweeter than this place. And quieter. Those screeching mules or drunken muleteers to break your sleep there. Only country sounds come from the hill that side. A shepherd calling a dog, a shepherd's pipe, while this place here groans with humanity and stinks a camel. Here, I'll show you. Come in, sir! Just follow me.
Thank you.
Come, come, my pretty pretties. Settle down, you little woolly heads. That's it. Come on now.
Amos?
Yeah?
Leave your sheep talk and tell us what you think.
Yes, tell us, Amos.
About weather? Oh, calm night. Calm and clear.
No wind to come?
No, nor rain neither.
That's what I said.
What of the sky towards Jerusalem?
Oh, no trouble. We'd go home and sleep tonight, if the foxes would do the same.
They say the old king's brains are twisted.
Always have been. Vicious as a scorpion.
He's a bad one to rule Judea.
Got what he deserves, I say. Now, don't worry. We can shout on the open hills what no man dares to whisper in the palace. A king who kills his own wife in cold blood.
If he did,
there's
Simon.
No doubt of that. She was a saucy piece. Called him a low-born Bedouin, which of course he was. So he leapt out of bed, nimble as a grasshopper, and murdered her.
Yeah, I heard that.
Strangled.
We shouldn't talk of such wickedness.
Why not?
Oh, he's a bad one right now.
My lips shall not speak wickedness. Job.
Down, watcher. Quiet. Quiet, I tell you. Ain't nothing there.
No sooner was she dead than he wished her back. Soused her in rock honey to keep her sweet.
Like an Egyptian.
Now he wanders in the dark, searching for a ghost, and bawling Mariamne. He still wants her, you see. Sorcery or not.
Well, that won't get him far. The dead are dead, and that's an end to it.
Oh, you're right there, Isra. Not even kings can bring them back again. He's three parts dead himself.
Aye, so I've heard. Yeah, which parts?
A belly and lungs, mostly. Nothing but a bag of worms.
That's a judgment.
No, nothing but a bag of worms. Doctors have drenched him, but it does no good.
Something to be said for being shepherds, and eh? No palaces, but easy consciences.
Oh, yes, and no worms.
David was king and shepherd. Worked on these very hills.
Oh, he did. Long time ago, that was.
In the Lord's eye, it isn't, Amos. 1,000 years is but a day. It goes like a watch in the night. That's Maccabees.
I reckon he'd see things different now. David, I mean.
Oh, not in these hills. Nothing's changed, not in 1,000 years.
He played the harp here once.
Aye.
Often had a mind to learn it, haven't you? The harp.
No, my flute's enough. Sheep are used to it. Here, Ezra, you suppose David reared his lambs for sacrifice?
They'd be for the temple, too. It's a sad thing, raising lambs for slaughter, but they say God needs them.
Hey, what's that?
What?
Thought I heard a harp. A single note.
Oh, the ghost of David now.
I heard it too.
Hear that light? Sky's filling with light.
God save us. There's some mistake.
We are not worthy, Lord. We are only shepherds, people of no importance. Only shepherds.
Do not be afraid. I bring you good news, the promise of salvation to all mankind. There is born to you today in the city of David a deliverer who is Christ the Lord. And by this sign you shall know him. You will find the child, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.
God is glorified in heaven, and through his grace man may find peace on earth.
They were angels. There's no mistake of that.
Do you see them?
No, but I heard their voices. I was afraid to look.
I looked. Couldn't see. Brightness blinded me.
They were angels, right enough.
You saw them?
Yes. They were all in silver, stretching back and back.
Silver, not white?
All silver, stretching back and back.
Best do as you said, then. Find the child.
What of the sheep?
Well, if he says go, he'll look after
them. Yes, he'll look after them. The prophet said he'd come from the house of David. Jeremiah said it. So did Ezekiel.
A caravan? That's late arriving.
Spectres passing through.
But in a cave. A manger. I don't understand.
Are you coming, Amos?
One of mine's ailing. I bring him with us.
As we climb from Jerusalem, our stars ascending meet in the third phase of their conjunction, hidden at first by Bethlehem's twin rock hills. Then suddenly, at the road's turning, the two hills swing open. Saturn and Jupiter are seen as one bright planet nearer its meridian. And as we move toward it, the star moves, beckoning southward, saying, "Here is the place, the center of the world, the heart of mystery."
See, on that peak is the Herodium, the king's great fortress tomb, symbol of power and symbol of corruption. On the other, the hill is terraced with square, moon-white houses, holding sleep and peace. Below them, orchards, winter olive groves, silence and sheep bells. The star is now over the second hill. There is a sense of calm anticipation. This is the place you seek, the end of your journey.
The star. Look, the star. The star has stopped. The earth has stopped. All nature is suspended, as though in the cosmic pulse beat, time had stopped. Over the Herodium, an eagle hangs, stretched on the clear sky. Sheep wait on the slopes. The universe is waiting. Time and eternity are one. The moment ends. The stars move in their courses. The sheep descend. The eagle floats above us.
And our grave camels, which halted without command, resume their upward journey. There are caves cut in the hillside where the star is hovering. The end of our pilgrimage, it seems, is not a palace. Stranger mysteries await us. A humble prince, a vulnerable god. Halt and dismount. We walk the rest alone. And may this child, our lord and future king, accept the genuflections of our camels.
God, as you see, Astroleth, is not above taking his own advice. Unless you become as a small child, guileless, imaginative, taking no thought for tomorrow, careless as wild anemones, free as the sparrow, harmless as the dove, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. And these words were added: you must be born again. So God himself is born in the shape of a child, to follow that admonition.
Him, powdered with myrtle leaves, and swaddled him, laid him in barley straw, clean as a cradled king. O Lord, 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 I magnify your name. Who chose me to be your servant? Chalice for the holy seed.
Ass?
Yes, Ox.
Who are they? What happening?
The woman I brought here. An easy birth.
Feel anything? A strangeness? Earthquake coming?
No, Ox. It's the turn of the year.
Ah.
Soon sun will climb, earth move towards spring. It is almost midnight. Everything stopped.
Like a rough wheel, dragged back and turned again.
A little man-child. That's why it stopped.
Why for this one?
He is different. He is a god.
Oh. Crocker the cock. Thinks it's morning.
He knows, too. This one is different.
I was a god once. Men made a calf of gold. They worship me.
So was I, Ox. The Greeks made a god of me. A golden ass. Man doesn't worship us any longer.
No.
He worships himself. He's even more foolish now to worship himself.
Man is an ass. Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, it's true. It's true. He's as stupid as him. Nothing's more stupid than man when he is stupid. But this one is different.
How? They all use us, all masters.
This one is different.
Used you? Rode you from Nazareth? Ride you to Egypt. Ride you Jerusalem.
But, Ox, I don't mind. I want him to use me.
Cracker again. Tell me, ass, how is he different?
He loves us.
Loves? Why?
Because God made us. Made ass and ox as well as man.
Oh, did he?
He makes everything that lives. All brothers, that's what this one thinks.
Will he deny us? Will he betray?
Oh, no, Ox, no. He won't betray us. But his followers will. Not all who believe in him will believe what he believes.
Oh?
But when he really lives in the hearts of men, they'll be our friends. They won't use us to pull their weights and fill their bellies.
Ah, like it used to be.
Yes, Ox, as it was in the garden.
From the cave of his mother's womb, echoing man's evolvement, he is born into this cave, the home of earliest man. From here, Adam, the long fraternity of beasts behind him, gazed out in fear and wonder at a new order of creation with earthlings conscious of God and groping toward him. From here, man saw his future as he stared from the cave's mouth.
The cave's a symbol, then?
God's best works are all symbolic. The whole story of mankind, both fact and allegory. And this child, this ordinary child, is also second Adam, leader of a new race that need not grope for God, but can be one with God, part of his creative mind.
Yet men won't know the child, won't understand.
No. Recognition will not come at once, nor comprehension. But already there are some possessing instinctive knowledge. They know the meaning of incarnation, the union of divine and human. Listen.
Here is the place the angel told us.
You go first, Ezra. You're the oldest and know the scriptures best.
Sir, may we come in?
Perhaps it's the wrong key.
No. Taurus is here from Isaac's vineyard. And a donkey, too. This is the place.
The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. That's Isaiah.
There, I said you knew them. Call louder.
May we come in, sir?
By all means, shepherd.
I am Joseph of Nazareth, carpenter by trade. My father was Jacob of the house of David. He lived in these parts, a builder too.
Old Jacob. I can remember him. And you're his son. Well, well.
We heard the child was born, the new king. We thought to worship him.
Come to this half of the cave. It's warmer. Put your lamb in the straw.
Thank you.
The child is here.
It's fine weather we're getting. Not the mud we often have at this time of year. I reckon it'll...
He comes to the earth like rain, like the soft rain. The dry waste and the wilderness take heart again. He comes to the earth like seed in scattering showers. The fields, the barren hills are filled with flowers. He comes to the earth like sap in the veins of spring. The green leaves leap with life and the birds sing. We praise you for this gift, O Lord of grace. Through him we know your power. We see your face.
Best be leaving now. Others are coming.
Don't go, shepherds. We want you to stay.
More torches!
No need, Lord Caspar. There is light enough inside. Bring only your gifts.
The Gentiles shall walk in thy light, and kings in the brightness of thy rising.
Hush, Ezra.
The multitudes of camels shall close around thee. All they from Saba shall come, bringing gold and frankincense, and showing forth praise to the Lord. Isaiah, verse 60.
He's a great one for the scriptures, sir. But he does go on a bit.
Oh, he uses them well. Welcome, my lords.
Welcome.
Peace be on this house, and glory to this child. I bring him gold, symbol of kingship, image of the rising sun and durable wisdom. For I heard a voice say, come leave your petty thrones. Pay tribute to the King of Kings.
I bring frankincense, homage to divinity, essence of that cosmic ether in which the spirit breathes. For a voice from that realm told me, journey westward where he lies, who is worthy of worship.
And I, the sad gift of myrrh, the balm of martyrdom, prophetic of eternal life. For I heard an angel call, you will find the god wrapped in a winding sheet, lying in a cave.
My lords, I cannot see the future. I do not wish to see it. I live in the moment and leave the rest to God. The angel called him Jesus, meaning, I think, salvation.
Madam, before the stars were made, his name was named. Even before the launching of the world was Christ proclaimed. This is the hour foreknown in the beginning, when time began. Now is the word of God made flesh, the spirit man. That is the meaning, the supreme purpose of incarnation. God has created God and lives now in his creation. Lives and suffers with all creation. In this child, the realms of earth and heaven at last are reconciled. Spirit and substance are reunited within his son. God becomes man. Eternity and time are one.
Praise him.
But more than that, through this unity and from this hour, men may share in the nature of the Godhead and tap its power. That is the cosmic message of the stars, the astral sign. God has become human that we may become divine.
Praise him. Praise him.
Kephos, may I interrupt?
Of course. More problems?
Just now, at the idea of man's self-worship, even the ox laughed. Yet Melchior speaks with approval of man's divinity. Quote, man may become divine. Are these two attitudes compatible? Can both be true? Or is it possible for man to be aware of his own greatness and also humble?
Yes, because that greatness is only potential greatness, and even then is not uniquely his. Let me explain. The Holy Spirit is all-pervading. Something of its quality, its living essence, inhabits man. Is closer than those possessions he can touch and see. It lives in the very compass of his being.
The kingdom of heaven is within you.
Yes, precisely. A God is lodged within us. That mustard seed, waiting to be found and fostered. To that extent, man is divine. But remember, he is landlord by grace and favor, not by inheritance. Nor is he alone in his possession. Although his body is a temple for the Holy Spirit, the landscape is strewn with temples.
I see. You mean mankind is more than man. The sum of human souls is greater than the individual.
No, Astroleth, that is not my meaning. For it leads to a worship of humanity more dangerous than self-idolatry.
Why?
One man's conceit is seen for what it is. A mammal's presumptuous arrogance, scratching for a few years on the earth's surface. But collective arrogance, human pride given the authority of state, the power of technology and mass suggestion, now that is Lucifer. Besides, the tally of the world's souls is still but a portion of God, a segment of an immeasurable whole.
I find it difficult. You say God's essence is in ourselves and in our neighbors. And yet this aggregate is not enough.
No. Man's worship of God in man is blasphemous, unless it's balanced by God beyond man. Otherwise, his concept of the divine dwindles, till it becomes no more than kindliness or a pious word, a man-created myth, a ghost from the unconscious. Listen, Astroleth. This is the substance of my experience. God is both here and there, within us and beyond us, finite and infinite. No microscopic cell too small to know his presence, and yet the farthest of the swinging stars cannot elude him. God immanent is our reminder of God transcendent. Each man's self may share in that divinity, but only through loss of self, reversal of worldly standards, a consciousness of that eternally beyond our reach. The total God. It is he we must love with a whole heart, with all our mind and strength. We cannot comprehend such greatness, but we can feel, can apprehend. And nothing less will do.
brother Paphos. The shepherds have left. The magician kings prepare for Jerusalem. They must not... Wait! Melchior, Caspar, Balthazar. Avoid Herod. Return to your lands by a different route.
Yes, Lord, as you command. Whichever way we take, those who arrive will not be those who began the journey. These events, which changed our lives, have also changed ourselves. May we be worthy of our new knowledge.
Amen.
Amen.
And for you, Joseph, there is another journey. Take Mary and the child and leave for Egypt.
Lord, I hear you.
Christ, we accept your kingship. We follow in your way.
Your life and your teachings we strive to obey.
Guard him, God of the universe. Protect your son. In Israel, beyond Israel, your will be done.
Amen. And farewell.
For us too, Astroleth, though our system of transport is more convenient. What have you learned?
That the nativity which happened here 2,000 years ago still happens now and forever in the human heart.
Excellent. And Christianity?
It's not only the reverent remembering of past history, but the reliving of a timeless truth.
Astroleth, congratulations. Now think starwards. Rise. Below us, the caravanserai. The warden is waking the early travelers. On that hill slope, Ezra begins the dawn watch, gathers his sheep and texts. The stars are fading. We rise again. Look eastward. Already the royal caravan winds towards Ascalon and the great sea. And there to the south, far down. Can you see them?
No.
Taking the Hebron road to the wells of Beersheba. Crawling slowly, like ants on a bent stick.
The man, the woman, and the donkey.
Yes, but now there are four figures, not three. And the fourth is time's center, the pivot of the world. All this has happened in a moment of time. No. A moment above time. A flash of eternity.
In the twinkling of an eye?
Yes, Brother Ezra. In the twinkling of an eye. Or to cap that quotation, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Eternity is here, this very instant. Through this gap between past and present, between present and future, man finds the kingdom and finds himself. If he lives in the eternal now, heaven is around him. He is made one with the divine imagination. The experiment succeeds. God's will is done on earth.
And if it fails?
If the world fails, some other star as yet unborn will rush with infinite slowness to take its place. Every eventuality has been foreseen.
Then it is all predestined?
No. Foreseen. Not foreordained. Man is left free at every turn to change direction. The roads ahead are forked roads, all different, all recurring. The choice between good and evil, right and less right,
is his. Decision after decision after decision. The choice is his. The choice is always his.
In Convergence on Bethlehem, Kephas was played by Nigel Stock, Astroleth by Jeffrey Beavers, Mary of Nazareth by Rosalind Shanks, Joseph by Stephen Thorne, Herod by Harold Innocent, and Melchior by Saeed Jaffrey. Bill Monks played Herod's minister and the ox, Roger Hammond, Boethus and Simon, Sam Dastor, Caspar and the ass, and Philip Voss, Balthazar, and Ezra. Philip Manicum was warden of the caravanserai, and Cornelius Garrett, Amos. The music was specially composed and directed by Sidney Sager, with Mainier Halin, harp, Elmer Cole, flute, Angela Malsbury, clarinet, Crispian Steele Perkins, cornetto, and Paul Chalkin, percussion. Convergence on Bethlehem was written by Clive Sansom and directed by Sean McLaughlin.